Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury.
Welcome to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. On this, the 40th anniversary of Earth Day, the environmental holiday, started in 1970 by Wisconsin's own Senator Gaylord Nelson. On the jukebox right now, a hit record that very year by Marvin Gaye, Mercy Me, The Ecology, in an era before the Environmental Protection Agency and the Clean Air Act, when the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland actually caught fire in that city's downtown, when the dangers of DDT were communicated by Rachel Carlson in her book Silent Spring, and when our own national symbol, the American bald eagle, was on the endangered species list in the lower 48 states because that chemical had taken a terrible toll on its population. We've come a long way since then, but we're still dependent on fossil fuels. The population of our planet is near 7 billion and still going up. Man-made global warming and climate change is accepted as a fact by more than 95% of the Earth's climate scientists. The Antarctic ice cap is melting. The ocean's bounty of seafood is vanishing as the waters warm and turn acidic and coral reefs bleach white. Closer to home, the Little Plover River, a Class A trout stream near Stevens Point, dries up every year as the water table vanishes. A massive fish kill last year in the Little Eau Plaine Reservoir, blamed on drought and agricultural runoff. Whole lakes in Washera County are drying up, while others in the Northwoods are far below their normal levels. The tropical rainforests are being cut down, and scientists say we are in the midst of the sixth great extinction in the Earth's history, with additional species dying out every day, an extinction caused not by an asteroid or a cosmic event, but caused by human activity. Our special guest on this, the 40th anniversary of Earth Day, Marge Gibson. She's the director of the Raptor Education Group of Antigo, an organization that has nursed back to health hundreds of eagles, hawks, owls, and waterfowl. And Marge herself, no stranger to environmental catastrophe. Back in 1989, she was one of the supervisors and directors of the wildlife rescue and cleanup operation following the Exxon Valdez oil spill off the coast of Alaska. Now, we're here to take your phone calls on the environment, your opinions on global warming and climate change, overpopulation, extinction, rainforest removal, fossil fuels, green energy, and our wildlife. But you may also want to just call to thank Marge for the wonderful work that she's done at the Raptor Education Group in Antigo. Ask her about the eagles and the hawks and the owls that she's nursed back to health. You might even want to ask her about the little one that she's brought with her today. It's a little screech owl, Marge?
Right, a little red-faced screech owl.
And if you would like to call up and talk to Marge or give us your thoughts on this 40th anniversary of Earth Day, here are those phone numbers, 261-6371, if you're in the Wausau area, 261-6371, or anywhere you're listening, toll-free, 1-800-780-9742. The show works best when you call in. That's 1-800-780-9742. Marge, tell us about this little guy that you've got with you. Usually you give your birds names.
Right. Well, this one was named by my interns, actually, and it was named Wookie because it looked like a little alien when it came in. She had West Nile virus as a youngster and actually didn't even develop feathers for over 2 years. So she's about four now and is really in perfect plumage and is a wonderful education bird.
She looks very, very healthy right now. And since this isn't television, let me describe the bird for you. It's about what? About maybe a foot tall, maybe a little
about,
over?
About 10 inches.
10
probably,
inches,
yeah.
10 inches tall. It's a rusty brown color with some white mixed in with the plumage, big yellow eyes with that dark brown circle in the middle. And she's being very quiet right now.
which is unusual because usually she starts her chortling or her sound right about this time of the evening. And hopefully we'll be able to hear that before we leave.
Marge, how many birds do you have at the Raptor Education Group Center now?
We have about 15 eagles, bald eagles, and about 100 other birds right now. And we're just getting started with our spring work and our summer work.
And what does that entail?
Well, baby bird season has actually started earlier this year. We have some little tiny ones in already. Interesting, some pine siskins, which we've never had before, a northern species. And we, as baby birds start being hatched, people start finding them. There's more interaction with the public, and they're brought in often to rehabilitation. So it's just a huge number of things in the summer.
Pine siskins you've never had before? Is that because they are native to this area? I've seen them in my backyard before.
We've had adults, but we've never had nestlings. And, in fact, the youngsters that we have now are the earliest reported nestlings ever in Wisconsin, and one of only 26 pairs. She was flying here.
You can hear that screech owl trying to
trying to leave
off
town.
And Marge, of course, has those big leather gloves on. So the birds are arriving earlier. We've heard a report from UW Stevens Point that flowering plants are flowering earlier this year than they have ever done before in history. Dandelions, for instance, flowering 7 weeks before their previous record date of about April 28th. They actually found one on March 5th. So it seems as though spring is coming earlier. The researchers at UW Stevens Point said climate change seems to be a logical conclusion.
It's been very interesting. We've been in Antigo with Raptor Education Group for now 20 years, and you can actually watch the progress of these things, and it's been very interesting.
What do you think are the greatest accomplishments we've made since that first Earth Day 40 years ago?
Well,
that's an awfully
broad question. There's been a lot. I think the basic thing is there's been so much more awareness and people taking personal responsibility for the Earth and for actually just thinking about things and how they have a part in it. But, of course, we have the Environmental Protection Agency now.
Something that was started by Richard Nixon, who
had
really a very strong environmental record.
It was in 1970. It was amazing how things really came together after the Vietnam War. And some people feel that, you know, the activism had started at that point, so it just continued on into the environment.
Let's go to the phones right now. If you want to talk to Marge Gibson, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Bob. Are you in Wisconsin Rapids, or are you near the Wisconsin River? I can't quite tell from the message on my computer here.
I'm walking along the Wisconsin River south of Rhinelander, a river that was totally polluted back in the 70s when I started working on the river. In fact, at Hat Rapids Dam, there was a crust of sludge that small animals could walk right across. Now the Wisconsin River meets water quality standards. And I just wanted to point out that the reason for this success and all the others, acid rain, groundwater, and a whole series of others, was regulation. And if you neglect regulation, you can easily slip backward into the bad old days that we had in the 70s and before.
Bob, you sound like a river advocate, and I'm just going to, it's going to be like to tell the truth here. Are you Bob Martini by any chance?
Yes, I'm
the
Bob
DNR?
Martini. Right.
Ha!
You're a DNR
board.
Worker.
Very good.
Bob, you've been one of these people who's really been an advocate for rivers throughout Wisconsin. You've been an advocate for taking dams out wherever we can do that. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, dam removal usually occurs when the dam owner does not want to maintain the dam anymore. And the law says that you either maintain the dam or take it out. When it comes to that point, when the dam is no longer repairable in an economic fashion, then all the fireworks start. Nobody wants to remove a dam if they live on the flowage. But in the long run, for the public good and the good of the river and the economic benefits, it's better to have the dam gone and avoid the cost and avoid the environmental disruption.
How do you feel about the progress we've made in protecting our rivers and streams? The horror story, of course, has always been the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland actually catching fire. But as a young boy in Illinois, I remember going on a camping trip with my parents on the Illinois River and near Peoria, and I couldn't believe how bad that river smelled. It was just filled with raw sewage. We certainly don't have those kinds of threats, at least not to the extent that we used to.
Yes, the Wisconsin River used to smell so bad that nobody wanted to get near it, and you certainly couldn't eat the fish because they really smelled terrible, if the fish could survive. Three large sections of the Wisconsin River couldn't support any fish except bullheads. Now we've got a balanced fish and aquatic life community. But the point is that you can slide back into that situation if you're not vigilant. I think the difference between today's environmental problems and the ones in the early 70s is that we fixed the easy ones. Now we've got the really difficult ones, toxic materials in trace amounts, global climate change, acidification of oceans, massive biodiversity shifts. These are the kinds of things that the countries all over the world have to work together on in a concerted fashion. It's no longer possible for one country to solve this kind of a problem.
Bob,
I think it's encouraging that 190 countries are celebrating Earth Day today because we're going to need every single one of them to take care of those kinds of problems.
All right, Bob, thanks so much for the phone call. You're beginning to break up a little bit, but
okay.
I really appreciate you calling
Happy
in.
Happy Earth Day.
Bob Martini, formerly with the Department of Natural Resources and a real advocate for Wisconsin rivers. Marge, if you can just pick up on anything that Bob said, if you'd like to.
Well, I
comment.
Think that one of the things was he was talking about regulation, and I find that that's one of the really important things is people don't realize that what they do really matters as an individual. Somehow they feel that, you know, people are going to, whether it's a state agency or a federal agency, are going to step in and take care of something, but their part in it really doesn't matter much, whether that's, you know, pouring motor oil, you know, down a sewer or something that people used to do all the time. But it really does matter. And I think trying to make people understand that, you know, is one of the things that is the benefit of Earth Day.
President Barack Obama made a short presentation marking the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. He did mention Senator Gaylord Nelson, Wisconsin's own, who was instrumental in starting this back in 1970. Here's just a portion of the president's words.
41 years ago, in the city of Cleveland, people watched in horror as the Cuyahoga River, choked with debris and covered in oil, caught on fire. Images of the burning Cuyahoga shocked a nation. And it led one Wisconsin senator the following year to organize the first Earth Day to call attention to the dangers of ignoring our environment. In the four decades since, we've made remarkable progress. Today, our air and water are cleaner, pollution's been greatly reduced, and Americans everywhere are living in a healthier environment. We've passed the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, and founded the Environmental Protection Agency. And in Cleveland, the Cuyahoga River is cleaner than it's been in 100 years. But the true story of the environmental movement is not about the laws that have been passed. It's about the citizens who've come together time and time again to demand cleaner air, healthier drinking water, and safer food, and who've demanded that their representatives in government hold polluters accountable. That progress continues today as individuals and entrepreneurs across the country help lay the foundation for a clean energy economy. One solar panel or smart meter and energy-efficient home at a time. And we've rejected the notion that we have to choose between creating jobs and a healthy environment because we know that the economy of the 21st century will be built on infrastructure powered by clean energy. But even though we've made significant progress, there's much more to do. And as we continue to tackle our environmental challenges, it's clear the change won't come from Washington alone. It will come from Americans across the country who take steps in their own homes and their own communities to make that change happen. So let's get to work. Together we can continue to make progress towards a cleaner environment and a healthier planet.
President Barack Obama marking this, the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. The holiday really started in a great way by Senator Gaylord Nelson of Clear Lake back in 1970. What we heard from the president, Marge Gibson, was a call to action.
Right. I think that that's really very important. And we see improvements all around us. I can't think that anybody would imagine going back to the times when our rivers were so polluted that they were hard to stand by or to view. But we still have a long way to go.
And yet there was some significant opposition even back in 1970 to the measures that were taken, which we take for granted today.
There really were. But I think that any time there's change, there's going to be people that feel that perhaps it's not needed or not warranted, or perhaps they just feel pushed and they don't want to be pushed to do anything that they feel is not significant. But I think we're all certainly a lot better off that it all happened.
Now, one of the things the president just said is that he rejects the alleged conflict between clean energy and the economy. But yet, in the state legislature just today, apparently the legislature isn't buying that because they actually failed to take action. They basically killed two bills that would have had a great effect on the environment. The one was creating a regional transit authority in southeast Wisconsin, which would help pave the way for high-speed rail and fewer cars on the road. And they also failed to pass the Clean Energy Jobs Act, which would have mandated that I think 25% of the energy be generated by renewable sources within, was it 15 years, 10 years, in Wisconsin?
You know, I think that change takes time, and unfortunately it takes time. And for some reason there seems to be a lot of suspicion by people or by advocates that methods that are being taken are you know, not appropriate or perhaps will have an effect on the economy. And, you know, loud voices make a difference with government.
Marge Gibson of the Raptor Education Group, we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of Earth Day on Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. You can join the conversation if you're in the Wausau area at 261-6371 or toll-free anywhere you're listening, 1-800-780-9742.
From the fountains and the mountains comes the water running cool and clear and blue. And it flows down from the hills, and it goes down to the towns and passes through. When it gets down to the cities, then the water turns into a dirty gray. It's poisoned and polluted by the people as it flows along its way. Don't go near the water, children. See the fish all dead upon the shore. Don't go near the water. Water isn't water anymore.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
Wherever you are listening, we invite you to call in to Route 51. We're celebrating the 40th anniversary of Earth Day with our friend Marge Gibson, the director of the Raptor Education Group, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Back to the phones, Barb in Wausau. You're on Route 51. Hello, Barb.
Hi. Actually, I have the privilege of volunteering for Reggie, and Marge does a wonderful job. And if I get a call to transport a bird from Wausau, or there are people in other areas, we go and get the bird and take it to Antigo. And I just wanted to let the public know that it's not just raptors and eagles that she takes. There are other birds that you find them injured, but you don't want to drive all the way to Antigo, there are people like me that will come and get the bird and transport it to Reggie for you. So I just wanted to let people know that it's not just raptors, it's any kind of injured bird, and don't worry about the transport. Usually we have somebody that can come and get it for us.
Barb, we've got a lot of wildlife noise in the background there. What are we listening to?
You know, I forget that I have all this. I have doves, and I have a spoiled cockatoo that's in her cage that wants to come out. I have a few pet birds, as Marge knows, so I actually forget what's in the background because I live with it every day. So.
And if you want to reach Marge, there are two ways to do it. Her website is raptoreducationgroup.org. That's raptoreducationgroup.org. Or you can reach her at her location in rural Antigo at 715-623-4015. That's 623-4015. Marge?
Yes. Hi, Barb. How are you? Good to hear your voice again.
Hey, Barb, let me ask you a question. Does Marge teach you how to pick up injured eagles and owls? Because I have seen her in action, and I can't believe the way that she can come to a bird that can still fly out in the wild and somehow calm it down, pick it up, embrace it, calm it down, and then get it into a car and transport it. How do you learn something like that?
Actually, I think it's an extreme gift that Marge has. I have seen big birds look at her as though they know she's helping them. And she just has an aura about her that puts the bird to ease. And I think you can learn it. But I think we've all seen Marge handling eagles. She doesn't even wear gloves. So
it's fairy dust is what it is. Just fairy dust.
Well, you have a lot of it sprinkling on you then, Marge.
Okay.
Barb, thanks so much for the phone call. We are talking to Marge Gibson, director of the Raptor Education Group, on this, the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. We'd love to hear from you. 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. We got a break for the news. We'll be back after that.
Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
Don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you got till it's gone. It'd be a paradise, put up a fucking line. Charge the people a dollar and a half to see them. No, 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 don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone. It'd be a paradise to put up a fucking line.
It's the group Counting Crows with a relatively new version of Big Yellow Taxi, a song by Joni Mitchell. Song that a lot of people consider to be really the environmental anthem on this, the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guest is Marge Gibson of the Raptor Education Group. If you just joined us, she's got a little tiny screech owl with her, and he's being very cooperative. He tried to fly around the room a little bit earlier, but he hasn't had much to say, which we'd like to hear a little bit out of him, I think,
it's
but not too much.
Unusual. Yeah, a little unusual. Usually she has a lot to say, but not tonight.
Marge is talking about the work that she does at the Raptor Education Group, nursing eagles, hawks, owls, and waterfowl back to health. Also, we're going to be talking about some of the environmental work that she's done. She helped supervise the cleanup and the waterfowl rescue operation in 1989 following the massive oil spill of the Exxon Valdez off the coast of Alaska. We're talking about all the challenges to the earth, the challenges to our trout streams in Portage County, the Little Plover River drying up every year, whole lakes in Washera County drying up. Well, lakes in the North Woods that are several feet below their below the level that they're supposed to be at. And then worldwide, scientists say that we're in the midst of the sixth great extinction on the planet Earth, an extinction caused by human beings, not by an asteroid or a comet. We're losing our rainforests, our oceans are turning water, they're turning turning warmer, they're turning acidic, and coral reefs bleaching out. Sometimes you wonder if there's hope, but Marge Gibson, there has been some hope since that first Earth Day. We have seen some progress.
It's really been amazing when you stop to think about it. I well remember the very first Earth Day and how incredibly proud I was that it was a Wisconsinite who began it, Gaylord Nelson, of course. And I think that, you know, we're sometimes sort of lulled into thinking that the entire world kind of looks like what's around us here in northern Wisconsin. We live in an extremely beautiful part of the world, and wildlife, you know, abounds here. But even when I was a youngster, in the 60s, 50s and 60s, we didn't have many bald eagles, for instance. And when you go back and look at the statistics, there was only, I think, 410 pair in the entire country.
And that was all due to DDT.
It was, well, in most part due to DDT, but of course there was habitat loss and hunting. People were shooting them, you know, not understanding their part in the environment and in the world around us.
If you'd like to talk to Marge Gibson, our lines are open. This program works better when you call up 261-6371 if you're in the Wausau area, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Marge, we have heard a lot from climate change skeptics. I won't use the pejorative term climate change deniers, but people who, for whatever reason, doubt the evidence that climate change, that global warming is in fact something that's happening, even though it's accepted by 95% of the Earth's climate scientists. What I want to do is play a news story that we put together here at Wisconsin Public Radio earlier this week, talking to some botanists at UW Stevens Point, where they have found that flowering plants across the board are flowering much, much earlier than they ever have before. The UW Stevens Point Botany Department has been keeping local records on spring flowering dates for 40 years. Biology professor Emmett Ujevich says this year, across the board, plants and trees in central Wisconsin are flowering earlier than ever before.
Some of the native plants would be bloodroot and hepatica and violets. And some of the garden plants would be like crocus and daffodil, and also a lot of weeds like dandelions. For some of these, it's 2 and even 3 weeks earlier than the earliest ever recorded blooming date.
This year, dandelions began flowering in central Wisconsin on March 5th, beating the old record of April 28th, set in 1973, by more than 7 weeks. Ujevich says the reason can be found in National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration data showing record-setting global temperatures for March.
The Earth's temperature being the warmest March on record by, I think, 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit. And the warmest place on Earth was actually centered around Arctic Canada, and then the warmth spread kind of southward.
Ujevich says the evidence points to global warming caused by climate change.
I think the evidence shows that, but even if you don't, it's quite a curious phenomena. How else to account for that? I mean, it could be it's an outlier, but, you know, draw your own conclusions.
A cautionary note before you plant your garden. Ujevich says despite the record set in March, there's no guarantee that there won't be a cold snap in the next few weeks. In Wausau, I'm Glenn Moberg for Wisconsin Public Radio News. And Marge Gibson, nationally, we aren't going to see cap-and-trade legislation, apparently. They might try to do it, but it's doubtful at this point in time. Even though there seemed to be a great deal of enthusiasm for it a few years ago when Al Gore won the Nobel Prize and when he was having success with the movie An Inconvenient Truth. But since then, we've heard about ClimateGate, alleged falsification of data by climate scientists, later disproved. But the initial reports seemed to get all the attention. The fact that the charges weren't valid weren't really widely publicized by the media. Where do you think we stand right now in terms of the general public wanting to do something about the environment, considering what the economy is like right now?
You know, I think that in part there's sort of a fear factor that if you accept that the climate's changing, then, you know, that's kind of scary. So in part, people want to step back. I've actually seen this, I think, with my own work. There's sort of a denial, and if you deny something, then it's not real. And I think that in some ways, people are doing that. But also, if you're not actively engaged with something, with work in the environment or, for instance, the work that I'm doing, It's hard for people to accept, you know, because it's not their field. It's not exactly what they're involved with. And I always, you know, say that, you know, if people could come and just spend a day with me, you know, it would really change minds. And I think it would. But, you know, they're not there, and I am. So it gives a different slant on things.
We have the warmest March on record. We've got the documentation that flowers are blooming much earlier than ever before in central Wisconsin. How has that affected the bird population?
Well, it's been very interesting. We've had birds that usually don't nest here, including a pine siskin, which I talked about a little bit earlier. And there's only been 27 registered pairs in the Breeding Bird Atlas, actually, for the state. From the beginning, I think it was started in 1948. But we also are seeing robins, for instance, that have eggs now, which normally they do not. So we are starting to get baby birds in a full month earlier than we would at any other year.
And have we seen some habitats moving north?
That too. Our turkey vulture population, for instance, is moving north and sort of progressively. So it's been a real interesting time to just observe, just to sit back and observe what's happening.
261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. We're talking to Marge Gibson of the Raptor Education Group, a nonprofit rehabilitation facility that is in rural Antigo. How is climate change affecting bird populations that are already here, that are native to northern and central Wisconsin?
Well, that's interesting too. I think that, you know, there's some migration changes already that are documented as well. We're starting to see the things like algae coming up and causing problems, and for instance, our loon die, we had some loon die-offs for several years now in Lake Michigan, and it's a salmonella, it's a, you know, some bacteria that are prompted by warmer waters.
Marge, let's talk a little bit about the Exxon Valdez. It was back in 1989, we had this terrible oil spill off the coast of Alaska. What were you doing at the time, and how did you get involved with it?
Well, I was doing field work. We were living in Southern California, and I was doing field work with the California Condor Project, working with condors, trapping bald eagles and trapping golden eagles, actually, to use them as surrogates for the doing toxin work on eagles. And we got a call. There were only about six people in the country that had trapped bald eagles at that point in time. That was 1989, and I was one of those. So everyone else was busy doing teaching or whatever. So, you know, I was sort of pulled out was actually on my way to got a call and was on my way to Alaska within a week. So I had to kind of get everything together and was on the plane before I realized what was happening.
You get to Alaska. What did you see?
It was really an interesting scenario, first of all. When we took the planes out, there were some areas that were very, very heavily oiled, and it would look just black. And then other areas where it was pretty pristine. But, of course, it was due to the circulation and the currents, and they were taking the oil into certain places. Now, they would sort of dump them in certain bays, for instance, and those bays would be just, you know, horribly oiled. So it was interesting to watch wildlife, how they either coped with it or didn't, and some species did better than others. But it was definitely an interesting time, and fascinating on a number of levels.
And you had to actually clean the oil-soaked birds. Describe to me what it looked like to you, what the challenges were in doing that.
Well, my part was actually trapping bald eagles that were oiled and doing blood work on the boat. I was working off a fishing vessel, a 42-foot purse seine at that time in Prince William Sound. And then trying to decide whether they needed to come into captivity for further cleaning or whether they would be okay if we release them. So that was interesting. It was, you know, we were sort of developing techniques as we went along. This had never been done before. So it was really kind of an interesting scenario, and every day was a new day. There were sometimes we would be in areas where we would think, oh, you know, this must look this way all over. We'll never get out of here. We couldn't step on the shore, for instance, because we would be slipping all over the place. We would have to have help with sticks and things to try to keep us upright.
And here it's 20 years later. How is the area recovered? How long does it take for it to recover? Is it still feeling the effects of that oil spill?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that there was cleanup that occurred, and then there is natural oil coming up in some areas in Alaska. But one of the things that we saw that was even more remarkable was ships and fishing vessels would go out and would release the oil from their boats and then would claim that it was actually from the Exxon Valdez. That was kind of an interesting, odd creature occurrence, and I have no idea why that happened, but it was happening, and we were seeing it kind of on a regular basis.
Fishing boats doing that. Talk about poisoning your own backyard.
Exactly. I don't know what the reasoning was, but people act oddly sometimes when they're under stress, and perhaps that was it.
Marge Gibson of the Raptor Education Group, 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. On this, the 40th anniversary of Earth Day, let's go to the phones. We have Ruth in Eagle River. Hello, Ruth. You're on Route 51.
Hi, this is Ruth. I just wanted to mention that my husband and I saw a young girl that was a volunteer from Reggie, and she was at the library in Three Lakes. And she had a really awesome program, and we decided we wanted to go down to Antigo and actually see the place. And it was very interesting. I think a lot of people should go down and check it out. The thing I thought was really neat was the peregrine falcon that she showed us and the history and the story about the bird. And also I wanted to mention I read a letter in the letter thing from the Organic Gardening, and there was a man who is against what Al Gore says. And he said that we're in the midst of a solar minimum with low solar wind action, and that's causing the cooling. In about 6 years, we will cycle into a solar maximum cycle where the temperatures will actually rise again. And I was just wondering if you could comment on that.
Marge, do you have any reaction?
I'm not familiar with that theory. But generally, I think, you know, there's many people that have different theories, and it really doesn't matter, you know, what your personal opinion is. I guess we just continue to watch and react to what's going on and to follow it.
Ruth, thanks so much for the phone call. And that story about the peregrine falcon?
Well, we have a couple of peregrines. One of them was a bird that was shot in Wausau, actually, about 3 years ago now. And Ozzy, he was named Ozzy by someone who, when he was banded and banded in Green Bay. So Ozzy is still with us. He's actually doing really well. And we were going to find a mate for him, but he's not had success at breeding, so he's back with us in an educational capacity.
261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to talk to Marge Gibson of the Raptor Education Group on this, the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Marge Gibson of the Raptor Education Group with us on this 40th anniversary of Earth Day. Before we wrap this up, I really want to play a segment of an interview I had really the good fortune of being able to do this past fall at UW Stevens Point, where we welcomed Jean-Michel Cousteau. He was there for a week talking to Stevens Point students. We asked him about the health of the ocean. We asked him about the environment, and we asked him about the message that he was trying to spread.
Well, what I've done all week is to make sure that the people who are honoring me with their presence understand the connections that they have with the ocean. The fact that the rain that is falling right now is the ocean, that the water they're drinking is the ocean, that the skiing they're going to do this winter is the ocean. And so we all connected to the ocean one way or the other. Unfortunately, because we are land creatures, we use it as a sewage, a trash can. Mm-hmm. And we're affecting our life support system, and we're affecting what's living it, what is living in it. We're destroying the habitats.
We used to have the feeling, human beings, for so long, that the oceans were so vast and so deep that there was no way we could affect them.
Well, we
That was wrong.
Well, that was wrong because in those days there were fewer people. We now more than 6.5 billion people. We add in another 100 million people to the planet every year, so the demand and the pressure on a finite resource, which is the planet, is increasing, and that we've reached certain levels where nature is saying, I can't handle it anymore.
Jean-Michel Cousteau at UW Stevens Point last fall. Marge Gibson, you certainly saw at the Exxon Valdez spill that we do indeed treat the oceans as a sewer. Comment on Jean-Michel's perspective that the rain that falls, the snow that piles up on Rib Mountain, all of that is ocean water.
It really is. I think that, you know, everything is interconnected, and the more that you work with nature and with the environment, the more you realize that, and it becomes a fact, not a, you know, not someone sort of trumped up version of it. But he's just amazing, and I think the work that he's done is incredible, and the work that he continues to do and to stimulate students that are going to be the future of our world.
Got time to squeeze one more call in. Let's go to Mary in Wausau. Hello, Mary. You're on Route 51.
Yes. Hi, Glenn. Thank you. I just wanted to mention that I saw Marge and her group in Minnesota probably 6 weeks ago for an owl rapture, and it was with Alice the Owl. She's real famous in that part of the state, and I just wanted your callers to know that if they ever have an opportunity to see that owl presentation, it is just awesome.
An owl rapture? It sounds religious.
It was the owl. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mary. It was the International Owl Festival in Houston, Minnesota.
Yes.
And actually, Alice, the famous owl, came from Raptor Education Group and was hatched in the wild in Antigo and became injured when she fell from her nest. So she's a local girl and has done really well in Minnesota.
And if anyone has the opportunity to ever go and see that, it is worth it. It is, you learn so much.
Our birds are really amazing, and I think that seeing them in person, so to speak, really makes people understand what they're all about.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling, Mary. And we are just about out of time, Marge. Your final thoughts on this 40th anniversary of Earth Day, the challenges that lie ahead. It seems like, as Bob Martini said in the first part of the show, we've done the easy stuff.
I think we have. I think that the road is starting to be paved. We have some really important things that are under our belt. And the thing that makes me the most excited, I work with students a lot, college students, and they really embrace this idea. They really understand from a different level, I think, than a lot of the public, a lot of perhaps their parents or even grandparents, and really are the future. And I love working with them because they are so aware and have a really understand that what they do matters.
Marge Gibson of the Raptor Education Group. And Marge, thank you so much. It's been a It's been a wonderful hour. We want to thank Marge. If you'd like to reach her, here's that phone number again, 715-623-4015. That's 623-4015. Her website, raptoreducationgroup.org. Now, a reminder, Marge's wildlife team will be speaking to the Aldo Leopold Audubon Society at their monthly meeting Wednesday, May 5th at the Lincoln Senior Center. That's at 1519 Water Street in Stevens Point. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Mary Baldwin. Special music today by Marvin Gaye, Johnny Cash, Counting Crows, John Prine, and Bruce Springsteen and Pete Seeger. Thanks again for riding with us today. Do something nice for the earth this weekend. Until next week, we're heading out of town.